Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and the decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions are those of the speaker.
Hello, and welcome to SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Kyle Hammerness, on behalf of the Faculty Division of the Federalist Society. We are here today to discuss Macquarie Infrastructure Corporation versus Moab Partners LP, in which the Supreme Court issued a 9-0 decision on April 12, 2024. It is my honor to introduce our guest today, Professor Adam Pritchard. Professor Pritchard is the Francis and George Skestos Professor of Law at the University of Michigan. Professor Pritchard teaches corporate and securities law and recently published a book titled A History of Securities Law in the Supreme Court. And with that, I'd like to turn things over to our guest to discuss the overview of the case and the court's decision.
So I think there is nothing surprising about this opinion. So this is a 9-0 decision from the Supreme Court written by Justice Sotomayor for the court. And she dispatches the question presented in an 8-page opinion. So the court gets points for being concise in this case. From the court's perspective, it didn't need to spend a lot of pages because the question was very straightforward. So this is a securities fraud class action, and Macquarie Infrastructure is in among other things, the business of storing liquid bulk chemicals in various terminals. So they have storage tanks and they store various large items. And one of the items they stored was fuel oil for container ships that had a high sulfur content. And the UN agency that's responsible for regulating the use of oil on the high seas had threatened to prohibit the use of a certain kind of oil, the high sulfur oil, and eventually it did. And when it did, that had a dramatic effect on shareholders' expectations about Macquarie's future profitability, and the stock price took a big hit. And as is customary, after the stock price took a big hit, securities class action was brought alleging that Macquarie had deceived investors by not disclosing the impact that a change in the regulations by the UN would have on its business. So in the usual securities fraud class action, the plaintiffs allege that the company has made a misstatement, a material misstatement that has affected the price of the security. The plaintiffs did that here, but what makes the case noteworthy or attracted the attention of the Supreme Court was that in addition to making claims about misstatements by Macquarie, the plaintiffs alleged that Macquarie had failed to disclose the information about the probability of the fuel oil being banned in violation of a disclosure obligation they had under item 303 of Regulation SK, which mandates that companies disclose known trends or uncertainties that have had or that are reasonably likely to have a material favorable or unfavorable impact on net sales or income from continuing operations. So the argument here was this was going to have a negative effect on revenue and income, and they failed to disclose it under 303, and that investors were deceived. This is what we call in the securities class action space a pure omission. They failed to disclose when there was a legal obligation imposed by the SEC for public companies to disclose in this context. The plaintiffs brought their claims under Rule 10b-5b of the Exchange Act of 1934. And that provision makes it illegal to make any untrue statement of a material fact or to omit to state a material fact necessary in order to make the statements made in light of the circumstances under which they were made, not misleading. That second clause, omitting to state a material fact in light of the circumstances made, making other statements misleading, was what was at issue here. So that's called the half-truth provision, that if you tell part of the truth, but you leave out some of the important context around that, and you make what you said misleading due to the omission, that's clearly actionable under Rule 10b-5b. But here the plaintiffs hadn't pointed to any statements that were made misleading by the failure to disclose the prospect that this kind of fuel oil would be banned. This mattered because a pure omission, based on the language under Rule 10b-5b, it looks questionable whether that's actionable under 10b-5b. And for the court, it seemed to matter a good deal that there is a parallel provision of the Securities Act, which Congress passed in 1933, the year before the Exchange Act was passed, which makes it illegal to include material misstatements in a registration statement filed in connection with a public offering. But Section 11 of the Securities Act also makes it illegal to omit to state a material fact required to be stated therein or necessary to make the statements therein not misleading. So Section 11 prohibits not only misleading half-truths, but also prohibits omitting to satisfy a disclosure requirement that the SEC has specified has to be included in your registration statement. So if Mercari had been selling securities to the public pursuant to a registration statement, their failure to include this disclosure of the fuel oil regulations clearly would have been actionable under Section 11. But for the court, the absence of this language from Section 11, omitted to state a material fact required to be stated therein, was dispositive of whether or not it was actionable under Rule 10b-5. And so that was the holding. Was that the failure to include this clause meant that it wasn't actionable under Rule 10b-5b. So this was not surprising. It is a very textual opinion from the Supreme Court. It turns in part on what it means to make a statement. The failure to make a statement is not a statement under Rule 10b-5b, according to Justice Sotomayor, and she has eight other votes for that. So that's a very clear holding. There's no ambiguity. So if I was surprised by anything, and maybe I'm not surprised anymore, it was the narrowness of the holding. So at the end of the opinion, Justice Sotomayor includes a footnote talking about the things that the court is not deciding in the context of this case. And the court says in this footnote, we are not deciding what constitutes a statement is made, when a statement is misleading as a half-truth, or whether Rules 10b-5a and 10b-5c support liability for pure omissions. And that's the critical narrowing clause, is that last provision. 10b-5a and c prohibit deceptive devices or things that would act as a fraud upon an investor. So they have a different formulation from 10b-5b. And the court specifically disclaimed whether failure to satisfy a required disclosure item could be actionable as a scheme to defraud. So what that means for securities litigation going forward is that claims that might have been framed as a pure omission under 10b-5b, that avenue is foreclosed, but alleging that it's a deceptive device or contrivance under 10b-5a or 10b-5c is still available to the plaintiffs. So we have eliminated one potential question, but we have not eliminated the substantive issue going forward for the lower courts. So this narrowness in securities cases coming from the Supreme Court is, I think, a conspicuous trend over the last 10 years or so. This careful case-by-case development of the law presumably helps the court to not make mistakes by making overarching statements. But if you're only going to decide 60 cases a year and a maximum of two are going to be securities cases, these very narrow pronouncements from the Supreme Court are going to leave lower courts grappling with a lot of questions and plaintiffs and defendants spending a lot of time and money squabbling over these questions that don't get resolved by the Supreme Court.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers. Founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental power is essential to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.